This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you with us as we talk about the Danville Heritage Festival. Once again, it is just about that time of the year, and we have been joined today on the program by Van Wagner, who's going to give us all the details and a little background and see what's ahead this year at the festival. Van, thanks for coming in again. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt. A pleasure to be here.
And Danville Heritage Festival has been... how many years now, the Danville Heritage Festival, as currently incarnated?
This will be the fifth year as the Danville Heritage Festival, building on 19 years before that of the Danville Iron Heritage Festival.
Okay, so it goes back to the 90s when the whole thing started, but it kind of morphed here, and you and some other folks took over and kept it going, which I think anybody would agree is a good thing. This has been, it's become such a part of the community to
exactly.
So many people.
Exactly.
You got to think people who are, you know, in their late 30s now, that was what they grew up with, too. So it's, I forget how much time has passed, but this is part of Danville.
Yep. Our goal is kind of to keep it the nuclei, if you will, that other events will build upon. Like you're saying, if it becomes a July staple for the community, if people just know that this happens every July, then other events will coordinate with it. And a good example is this year, it's the Legion's 100th birthday, post 40 here in Danville. And so they're putting on an incredible parade, which they would have been doing anyway. But because we have the festival every July, they said, well, let's do it the same weekend and tie it all into one event. So, you know, the Danville Heritage Festival is taking place that weekend. Yes, there's a parade, but I must be clear, it's the Legion's parade. They're the ones funding it. They've put a lot of money and effort into planning an incredible parade that weekend.
So, and that is always an awesome, awesome event, too. That's
yeah.
Just such a small part of the overall festival because there's so much that goes on at this thing. So,
right.
And of course, Danville's heritage in some form was iron, but it's also so much more. You know, kind of explain the name change and why this is still so accurate.
Yeah, well, I think the Iron Heritage Festival certainly played up the iron manufacturer, the story of mining and milling of iron here in Danville. And we still try to do that, of course. You know, we are the Danville Ironmen, after all. But by, you know, broadening the name to the just Danville Heritage Festival, we're allowed to take on so much more. So, for example, this year you'll see we're hosting Gary Fogelman, who is an absolute treasure in Pennsylvania when it comes to Native American artifacts and a tool called the atlatl, which was before the bow and arrow. And it's basically a throwing spear. It's an incredible tool. There is a legal atlatl hunting season in Pennsylvania. I don't recommend trying it. It's an incredibly difficult, watch an expert. And so anyway, he'll be at the festival demonstrating this. But again, what we've been able to do is we can broaden the heritage we celebrate by hundreds and even thousands of years by being the Danville Heritage Festival.
Okay. And you mentioned we are the Iron Men, and that kind of brings me to the brochure this year, which has the Iron Men colors on it.
Isn't that beautiful? Bob Stout of Montour Rec put that together. As a volunteer, I mean, he did it on his own time, and it's absolutely beautiful. People can pick these up at places like Kohl's Hardware, Biter's, other local Danville businesses. Danville Business Alliance with Becca Dressler has been coordinating that effort, but they're free to pick up, and they read like a one-page newsletter about the festival. It also has a listing of all the events going on, and it has a really nice background on my friend Larry Morden, who passed away this year, and it talks a bit about his efforts in preserving Danville heritage with his artwork especially. He was a gifted artist with his pencil, and he did these drawings that were incredible. And his art will actually be on display on Mill Street at several local businesses the week of the festival. And there's going to be a scavenger hunt put together where people can actually kind of go on this adventure looking at Larry's artwork and answering questions and collecting information. So more information to be released on that soon.
Speaking of things that are all about Danville, I mean, if you live in Danville, you know that name.
Absolutely. Larry, if people don't recognize the name, they'd recognize his artwork. These black and white pencil drawings hang in businesses and restaurants all around the community, and people, I think, just take them for granted, some myself included. Sometimes you just think, oh, you know, that's just something someone did in their pastime. And it's like, no, that Larry dedicated his life to capturing local scenes, and we're really excited to be showcasing his work this festival.
And the festival basically runs Friday through Sunday, with I guess Saturday still kind of being the big day when everything's out and about. Give me kind of look at Saturday first, and then we'll kind of sandwich it in with the other days.
But sure,
the big day is
Saturday's the big day, and there's no way I'm going to be able to list it all right now. So you know, just to sum it up by location, let's do that. We're no longer out at Hess Field. There's some events taking place at Hess Field. I believe the Coit tournament's still going on. But in terms of the festival headquarters, so to speak, it's going to be the middle school. The Danville School District has been really open arms about this and welcoming us there. So it's going to be the living history component, the blacksmiths, the atlatl demonstration, the live music, the food vendors. That's all at the middle school now. But also exciting is Mill Street will be closed down, and there's going to be a classic car cruise-in all day long Saturday. So folks can come to Mill Street. They can support local businesses. There's food, of course, in the restaurants, and see these classic cars up and down the street. Also, FQ Hartman location is going to be hosting Montour County Antique Farm Machinery. And they're going to have a great display set up. We're hoping to also have some live bluegrass music down there. I can't confirm that at this time, but that's in the works. So there's festivals going, like many festivals going on at the same time all over the community that same day.
And this is the kind of thing where if you're a history nut like you and I, this is amazing. And if you're not a history nut like you and I, it's still, there's so much going on that you don't have to be a fan of history.
Exactly. I find the food wins people over. Just the food that, the food vendors that come are some of the best in the area. And so that alone, you can't beat the live music we have lined up as well. I mean, it's the right price. It's free to attend, and it's some of the best live music you're going to find in the area.
Okay, and you're one of them.
I always like the tradition of, if I can, closing the day. I love, if possible, being the last act of the day, because it's just, I've poured my heart and soul into this festival every year, as have other people. And to me, to be able to close it all off with some songs about Danville, and this year is going to be even more special because I'll be right there at the foot of Bald Top Mountain where I grew up, singing these songs that I wrote about the mountain and the miners that worked in that mountain. It's going to be a very special 45-minute closing an hour or 45 minutes to an hour of my day.
And I've told people that I think of Van Wagner as the Woody Guthrie of Danville. I mean, it's that kind of looking at the people, the down, what happened here. It's just that it kind of reminds me of that type of music on a local scale.
And those will be the songs I sing at the festival this year, for sure.
Awesome. Okay.
Now, you mentioned sandwiching with the other events. I'd love to showcase what we're doing Friday to kick off the festival. We're bringing back the very popular Iron Mine Tour. Larry Morden and Herman Jones and I did that for years from the very beginning of the Danville Iron Heritage Festival. And folks would come to, we'd meet at Sunnybrook Park, and we'd hike out and visit several abandoned mine sites and talk about how iron ore was mined in the valley. And we stopped doing that a few years ago for various reasons, some health concerns in the group, but also just weather. I mean, there were some years where we just kept getting hit with these torrential downpours at exactly the start time. And one year led to the next, it led to the next, and we discontinued them. And especially with the passing of Larry, in the week he passed away, actually, I got to talk to him about bringing back the mine tours, and he agreed it would be a great idea. He didn't say a thing about his health, actually, at the time. And so, sadly, a week went by and he passed away. Caught me a bit off guard, but I thought, to honor his legacy, I'm going to see that we finish the mine tour efforts. And so my sons and I went out in the colder months, and we cleared the path so that it's walkable again. The folks at the board at Sunnybrook Park gave us permission to do so, and so we're going to take folks on a hike out to several mines. We will not be going in any abandoned mines. That is, of course, too dangerous, but I'm going to take folks to where the mines were. I believe it's 6:30 on Friday, if you can help me. I don't know. You've got the schedule.
6:30 on Friday, yes.
6:30. We're going to meet at Sunnybrook Park, and unfortunately, it is not handicapped accessible. We're going to be walking back through the woods to where these abandoned mines were. However, I can say to folks who have mobility issues, we have videotaped this mine tour years ago, and it's on YouTube. So folks can see the tour with Larry and Herman and I. It was filmed about 10 years ago. If you search on YouTube for Van Wagner, Larry Morden, Iron Heritage, that type of stuff, those buzzwords, you're going to find us.
Okay. Now, the parade is Thursday?
No, the parade is Saturday now.
Saturday,
because,
okay.
As I said, because this is it's their 100th anniversary for the Legion, it is going to be one of the key things we're showcasing that weekend. So there'll be the parade, and then as it gets wrapped up, of course, Kohl's Hardware hosts the All Town Block Party, big party in Kohl's parking lot, live music, food, games for kids. And then just as that's winding down and it gets dark, fireworks over the Susquehanna River. So this could be the biggest and best Saturday festival that I've witnessed ever.
So lots of the big major stuff there going on Saturday. Yeah. So, and you mentioned the living history demonstrations. I think that's a kind of a who's who of my some of my programs. I've had people on the, you know, Carol Perenzin, the Middle Susquehanna River Keeper,
excellent.
John Moore talking about history and frontier history, and this is.
Well, that's what we've tried to do, is exactly what you said. The who's who of local history is who we've reached out to. And we mix it up every year. So if there's other historians that have not heard from us, they should just sit tight or reach out to us for future years, because this festival is going to continue for many years to come. And I look at the schedule and I feel sometimes overwhelmed. I think to myself, I can't get to it all. I don't know that I can get to it all. Well, that's the point. That keeps you wanting to come back next year and the next year and the next year, so that you can start to every year experience something different.
Reminds you of Disney World. You can't go and see it all in 1 week. You've got to come back to the festival next year. So.
A little bit less money, too, than
That's
Disney.
That's true. Very true.
But I like the comparison.
Okay. All right.
They have the monorail. We have the T-rail.
There you go. And the hymn sing by the river, I was looking through this and hoping it was back, because that's really
it is
a really cool thing.
It is. And if it didn't make that paper schedule, forgive me, but I can tell you that is a tradition we will always continue. It is on Sunday of the festival at 6:30. We meet down at Montgomery Park, which is simply where Ferry Street meets the river. Folks are encouraged to bring a lawn chair. Whether they want to sing or just watch is up to them entirely. And we pick hymns, many of which are historic in nature, several of which were written in Pennsylvania, some quite locally, and we sing them right there at the Susquehanna River. And the one that comes to mind is Shall We Gather at the River. The gentleman that wrote that didn't write it while he was in Pennsylvania, but he had done some of his earlier time as a pastor, I believe, in Williamsport or Lewisburg, I forget which. And so I always like to think to myself, what if the seed for the thought of that song was the Susquehanna River, although he wasn't living here when he wrote that. So there's a lot of other neat little connections to some of the hymns we'll be doing that day that sometimes we pause and try and point these stories out, sometimes not. So I'm glad I got to mention that on your program today.
Okay, and that's all. It kind of wraps it all up there neatly by the river. So.
Exactly.
All right. And in the event of rain, would that be...
That event, we play it. If we don't get cooperative weather, it's usually wrapped up. Now, we have in previous years, we have last minute tried to find a church that will host us. But luckily, since we don't set up microphones and speakers, we can adapt. So, you know how those July thunderstorms roll. Sometimes if it's only a 20-minute downpour, then we sit in our car for 20 minutes. We wait till it's over and we come back out. We can still do it. But if it does look like a 2 to 3 hour washout that night, perhaps we can at the last minute find a church that will host us. But we have not been advertising that. We're just going to hope that we can do it on site at the advertised time.
We'll just plan on forecasting beautiful weather the whole weekend.
But everything else, because we're at the middle school, thankfully, everything else is rain or shine. Because if we do get some rain on Saturday, for example, we can move indoors. The historical speakers are already hosted indoors in the air conditioning, which is nice. And we have the option of moving some of the music inside. So we have options, which is very nice. We did not have that when we were at Hess. We appreciated being hosted at Hess by Montour Rec, but the middle school is definitely a better fit for what we're trying to do with the festival.
And were you involved from the very beginning of the Iron Heritage Festival too, in some form?
In some way I was, yep. Okay. I remember... I used to tour around Pennsylvania and other states with Rich Pauling, a Pennsylvania historian, and we would do musical heritage programs all over the state. And town after town would have these little coal heritage festivals or logging heritage festivals. And I would think to myself, Danville could do this. And it sounds like it was quite serendipitous, because about the same time I was having those conversations with local people, people like Sis Hawes were doing the same thing. And so it was folks pulling in the same direction, I think, at the same time, people realizing we need to have something that celebrates our heritage, especially in the 90s. We still had plenty of folks that still remember the iron workers. There were still quite a few iron workers still left living. And there's still some here today, but not like they were in the 90s. In the 90s, it was that World War II generation that many of them had worked. They'd grown up. They worked in the mills. They fought in World War II. Worked for, you know, KVS, TRW. These were some of the companies that were here in Danville in the 40s and 50s yet. And so it's getting harder and harder to find those Danville iron men and women, the folks that actually worked in the industry. That's another reason why we've branched out to the other topics, by the way.
Okay. So collection of speakers, living history, parade, hymn sing, fireworks. So what more do you want? That's just
you got it all. You got it all right there.
So much to do. But again, you can pick these up at local stores.
A lot of members of the Danville Business Alliance have these flyers. Yeah. And if not, it's danvilleheritage.com.
And you get all the information. You can plan it all out and see as much as you can over that 3-day period. Van, thanks for being with us on the program again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.